But I'm going to do a magic trick tonight, okay? So I've got just like this normal box here of I can't do this. I got a normal box. It's totally normal of tissues, okay? They're just tissues. Actually, somebody come help me. Come verify this. Sure, come on, Corbin. It's just tissues, and it's just a box, right? Like, pull some tissues out. No, there's nothing in there. Just pull it out. No, it's good, dude. Right? Check. Is this a normal tissue? Yeah, it's totally normal. This is normal, right? Don't be in there. No, it's good, right? All right, go sit down. No, okay. So stay here, right? So I just got like I just got a bunch of tissues. And why are you bringing candy on the stage? You're gonna get my stage dirty. Okay. So hold your hands out with these normal tissues that I have. And here's what's gonna happen. I'm just gonna make some candy. Come on. I'm gonna get in so much trouble for that later. I'm sorry. Okay. Go enjoy those. Thank you for helping me in my beautiful magic trick.
Wow.
Thank you. I'm not going to quit my day job. but yeah, it was going to be so much better in my head, right? So anyway, I'm not good at magic, and a lot of people aren't, and some people are. And some people actually say that Jesus was just this like really good magician, a lot better, obviously, than I am. And so as we talk about Jesus, and I'm still sharing this series with you guys about why I believe that Jesus really is God. I'm giving you 11 reasons why in my life I can go to Jesus and go, I believe 100% that you are God, that you can forgive my sin, that you can guarantee me eternal life with my Creator. I believe that with all my heart. And I've been walking through, so far we've looked at two reasons why I believe that. And tonight we're going to keep walking through that. But one thing that really tonight I want you to see is that with all the tricks and magic and illusions and powerfully seeming things that we have all around us, we're used to being kind of duped, right? We're used to being tricked. We watch these really cool movies where people in movies now can like fly and pick up cars, and you watch like Marvel, like Endgame, and like all these things. Like, we're used to seeing that. And so when powerful things happen today, we almost don't even like blink. It's kind of used to it. Like, yeah, I mean, we've seen lots of cool stuff. And so even when we talk about Jesus, sometimes, like you heard in that video, some people even look at Jesus and the miracles that he performed is just some really good trick. And so tonight, I want you to walk with me through some of these miracles. Because number three, the third reason why I believe Jesus really is the Son of God, is because he performed miracles that were witnessed by people and are recorded that can't be reproduced. You could get David Copperfield here. He's not going to be able to pull off the things that Jesus pulled off. The things that to me prove he really is the Son of God. He really can do anything, and he has the authority over everything. And so tonight, reason number three, I want you guys to hear Hebrews 1, verse 2. Just the end, it says, "But in these last days he was spoken to us by his Son," get this part, talking about Jesus, "whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." You want to talk about a miracle? Like, create the entire universe. Create everything that exists from nothing. And the Bible says that Jesus has created everything. So tell me, if you can create everything that exists, what is there that you can't do within that? There's no limits. You made it all come into existence, so anything in it is fair game. You have authority and power and control over the whole thing. And the Bible says that Jesus created the entire world. So what is there left that he can't do? Nothing. And so when we talk about Jesus' miracles, they're actually kind of small compared to the fact that he created the universe. Hebrews also says that he holds the universe together. Every molecule, every atom is in its place because Jesus wills it to be there. And if he stopped willing it to be there, it would no longer be there. That's the power of our Jesus. And so as we talk about these incredible miracles that he performed, you know, first thing I want you to see is that there's in Scripture 37 that are clearly described miracles of Jesus that we count up. 37 different ones that are recorded, that people saw, that they wrote down, that they shared with each other, that 2,000 years ago, today, we're still talking about. They were that awesome. People probably aren't going to talk about David Copperfield in 2,000 years. They're going to forget his name. But 2,000 years later, we're sitting on Merritt Island in this little building still talking about the miracles of Jesus because they were that incredible. Please don't sit there tonight and think that the miracles Jesus did are like the story of Santa Claus. Some fun legend that your parents tell you to make you feel good as you grow up. They're real. They happened. He has the power today to do those things. 37 clear ones. And you know, on top of that, there were so many times where he was in these massive crowds of people, and it says that he was just like healing people, just walking through like hundreds and hundreds of people, and he's healing the sick, and he's feeding thousands of people with like a picnic basket of food, and he's doing these incredible things. And those we can't even count because there were so many of them that he did in that crowd. And we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people that Jesus helped by performing miracles. That's someone who controls the laws of science. That's someone who's bigger than the universe because he created it. So we really have no idea how many miracles Jesus performed. But we know they're not just stories. We know they're not just fairy tales. Fairy tales disappear. People stop talking about them. They move on. They stop being amazed by them. They don't spend thousands of years going, "It's unbelievable what Jesus did." Where here we are still today, talking about these miracles. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He passed through crowds. He healed the blind. He healed the paralyzed that couldn't walk. He healed the sick. He fed thousands with a picnic basket of food. He calmed raging storms in the ocean. He cast out demons from possessed people. Jesus even raised the dead back to life. Unbelievable. Things that you don't stop talking about. And I just want to look at tonight one of those miracles. Let's just look at the raising the dead, because to me, that's insane. Like, that is so powerful to be able to do that. In John 11, verses 1 to 44, it says this. I'm going to walk through this passage with you. But this is a story of Lazarus. This is a really close friend of Jesus that he loved who got really sick. And walk with me through this story. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Okay, let's stop there for a second. It's a lot to swallow. Here's one of Jesus' best friends. He loves his family, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, and he's sick. Like, and they're afraid this guy's going to die. He's so sick. So they send out to Jesus, who's in this other town, and they're like, "Hey, tell him to come quick because you need to stop. Like, you need to help him before he dies." And Jesus answers by saying, no, he's sick, but this sickness won't kill him. It's not going to lead to death the way you think. Like, what? It's going to be for the glory of God. And they're like, what? Why would Jesus say something like that? Doesn't it sound almost insensitive for Jesus to say that? But the point is they just didn't understand what he was saying or why he was saying it yet, but they were going to. They were about to find out. So initially we hear that and we're like, Jesus, how could you be that insensitive? Why wouldn't you just get up and go, like run there? But I don't want you to miss a really important phrase in this. That the Son of God may be glorified. The point of Jesus' miracles are for God to get glory. And sometimes immediately we want to make them about us because we usually are the ones benefiting from this incredible thing God does, this awesome blessing. And so we're like, oh, he must love me so much and I must just be like the center of the story and the spotlight's on me and everything's about me. And there's some of that that's true because he does love you so much. But there's a bigger thing at play here, and it's the glory of God. And so he says next, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Isn't that funny how that's like the next thing? After that really harsh thing, the next thing we hear is how much he loved them. He's like, don't forget this. Don't miss this. I might be saying kind of a hard thing to grasp, but don't forget that I love them so much. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Like, wait, you love me, but you're going to stay there 2 more days when I'm like in my bed sick? Like, why wouldn't you jump in the ambulance and like get here? Like, get on your donkey and get over here, Jesus. Don't you really care about me? You say you love me and you're going to wait 2 days before you come to help me? And I could see how at first, before knowing the whole story, they might look at Jesus and go, how could you do this? Why would you wait? But Jesus had a bigger blessing than the one they thought they were getting. You see, sometimes we limit the blessing. We try to tell the story for God. God, here's what's wrong. Here's how you need to fix it because it's how I think it will work out the best. And in my limited knowledge, as a not very smart human being, I'm trying to tell the ultimate God of the universe with all knowledge the best way to handle my problem. And if he doesn't handle it that way, you know what I do? Oh, how could you? God, you're so unfair. You're so mean. You're not following my plan. You're not doing it the way I think you should. Why would you wait 2 days? And God's like, because I've got a better plan. I've got a bigger blessing in store for you. So I want to encourage you, as you're sitting in a problem, in a situation in your life where you're just not sure how it's going to turn out, or you might be sitting in pain right now tonight as you come in this building, I want to encourage you to trust God in the middle of your pain. Don't try to make him work it out the way you want it, because it will never be as good as how he wants to work it out. But you know what that takes? It takes trust. You got to trust him as you're hurting, as you're going through something, as you're not sure what's going to happen next. It takes trust to say, God, I know you want better for me than what I want. This doesn't look the way I'd have it work out. You know, it's easy to complain about my life right now. But I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to see how you want to play this out in my life. Then it says this. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. It's like, all right, let's go. It's been 2 days. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you and are going to be there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble, but he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to wake him up. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's only fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus has spoken of his death. But they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Jesus is looking at these guys who were like, why would you not go? You're going to let him die? Jesus is like, it's good I wasn't there. I bet they were shocked when he said that. Imagine Jesus looks back in your face and is like, it's a good thing I wasn't there. It's a good thing that he died. What would your reaction be? Someone you love. And you're talking to Jesus, who's right there, who you know could heal that person you love. And he looked at you and he's like, you know, it's a good thing they died. What would happen in your heart? How would you respond to Jesus? We all go through moments like that in our lives. It might not be death yet, but whatever situation didn't work out like you wanted, that crossroads moment, and you get to look at Jesus and go, how come? That's when you have a choice. Are you ready for the choice? You can either turn it all on Jesus and just pour out your wrath, or you can trust him. Those are your two options. And Jesus says next, it was good. Here's why it was good. So that you could believe. I wanted something more than just healing this guy. I wanted your hearts to believe so you couldn't just have life. You could have eternal life. That you'll see the power of God in me. That you will see my authority. And you'll go, he really is the Son of God. He really has the power to forgive my sin. He can raise dead people to life. He can heal me. He can forgive my sin. He can grant me access to heaven. This is God. And without that moment, at that moment where you get to make the choice, you know, how else will you see? How else will you believe? So instead of going, hey, I just need you to do things the way I'm asking you to do them, God, that's our deal. Why not try saying, Lord, this stinks, but I trust you. Help me believe. Give me faith in this moment. Help me trust you that you have a bigger plan and a better plan than I could ever imagine. Jesus' miracles were performed so that we would believe. It's funny because he did it for people who believed already, right? To an extent. But he wanted to grow their faith inside. Say, I know without a doubt you are who you say you are. It says next, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. The guy's dead now for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I can't even begin to imagine what she's feeling and all that. There's so many layers of emotion in her heart. She just lost her brother. She just buried him. And here's Jesus that she knows with all her heart can heal. All her heart, she knew and believed he had the power. She said, why didn't you? If you had been here, if you had just come, if you had just shown up on time, this would be a different ending to the story. But then, at the end, she says this, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. There's this awesome moment of like, this is how I really feel. It's just raw. This is just me, Jesus. But I trust you. But I believe you. Whatever your plan is, I know it's good. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She's saying, hey, I know you can bring this guy back and we're all going to be raised and go to heaven one day. I know that. And Jesus says, but hold on, you're still thinking too small. I don't just have the power to do that. I could right now call this man up from the grave. You still don't understand the power that I have or who I am. And so he lays it in front of her, and I love that her heart changes. He basically just asks her to believe. Just believe me. Just trust me, Mary. And she says she will. You are the Christ. You are God, she says. Maybe tonight you're sitting in a place where God's just looking at you, and he's saying, just trust me. You just hand that thing over to me. You just stop trying to tell me how to do it. I know how your heart feels. I know that your heart's broken. Jesus is about to show us how deeply he knows your hurt and your pain. And he's still asking you to just take it and hand it to him and say, Lord, do it your way. Just do it your way. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus hadn't yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same thing as Martha. Like, they both say a very similar thing, but look at how different they were, right? One stays seated in the house, like, I'm not even getting up, you know? And the other runs out to meet him. And yet they both, such different personalities, still say the same thing. If you had been here, if you had just done it our way, if you had just shown up, there's something so human about doing that, that each of us do. God, do it my way. Fix things the way I want them to be, the way I think you should do them. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, look at this. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. That's the Son of God feeling that. That is the all-powerful King of the universe who was greatly moved and deeply troubled in his spirit. Sometimes we feel like God just doesn't get it. And here's Jesus mourning with these people. Something he could have stopped, right? They both said it. He could have shown up. If he had left right then, he would have got back in time and he could have stopped Lazarus from dying. But he didn't. And yet, he still comes in mourning and weeping. He even knew that in a minute, here's, you know, surprise ending, sorry to break it. He raises him from the dead. Knowing he's going to do that in a minute, he's still moved inside because he sees the hurt and the pain of the people who are crying. He's hurting for them, not so much for Lazarus. He's looking at their pain and he feels it. Why do you think he doesn't feel yours? Why would you ever think that he doesn't look at your situation and get it and understand you and hear what you're saying when you're like, do it my way, and he hears you. He's like, I get what you're saying, but child, hold on. I've got something so much better planned for you. You just wait on me. Just trust me through this. The amount of faith he's going to put in your heart if you do, if you keep trusting even when it's hard, can't even comprehend it right now. You can't even grasp how much faith he's going to put in you. He said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And look at this. This is that famous two-word verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Or Jesus cried. You ever picture God, all-powerful, strong God, crying? The King of the universe is weeping with these people. Don't ever tell me Jesus doesn't get what you're going through. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? Like, they could even tell how much Jesus was moved and how much he loved Lazarus and these people. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man, because they had just seen him do a miracle, just healed that blind guy over there. The dude can see now. If he could do that, couldn't he have he kept this guy from dying in the first place? Why didn't he do that? It's a third group of people now who've said the same thing. Over and over and over, they keep saying the same thing. Jesus, why didn't you do it our way? How come my life isn't turning out the way I want it to look? The plan that I have, what I've told you to do, Jesus. Even these people who are just standing on the sidelines are saying the same thing. And what Jesus wants to grant us through that is more faith. So I could do it your way, but you would never begin to receive the blessings I have in store for you that you don't even know about. I got something so much better. Our hearts are always doubting, always questioning, always deconstructing it. Like, what's going on? And Jesus just wants to take faith and put it in your heart and say, believe me. Trust me. You know, the point of Jesus' miracles weren't just to show off. He really loved people. He saw people's hurt and he saw people's pain and he cared. And so he cared enough to actually intervene in their life. And second, he did these miracles so God would be glorified and your faith would be made stronger. You would look at Jesus and say, you really have the authority over everything. Like, literally everything has to bow to you. Sickness bows to you. Time, space, the universe, everything bows to you, Jesus. Demons tremble and fall on their face before you. Jesus, you have all of the authority. Says this next. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, because I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus just said over and over and over again, his purpose is for you to believe. When you think about what Jesus has done in your life, what you think is good, what you think is bad, however you view it, do you look at it with greater faith? Do you look at it and it makes you go, wow, he knows what he's doing. He deserves me to trust him even in the middle of this. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. 3 words. It took Jesus 3 words. And this dead man, who was so dead that he smelled his corpse was rotting. This wasn't some trick. This wasn't some lame magic trick somebody pulled off. Or took this dead guy who was really just sleeping and they gave him some good pills and he looked dead. This dude smelled. He was rotting. They noted the odor of his body. And with 3 words, Jesus calls him back to life. Imagine standing there, just being a spectator of it, just like off to the side, watching this event happen. And this Jesus guy who you know heals people and does some cool stuff, but you might have thought it was more like a box of Kleenex trick up to this point, walks up to a cave, looks in at this dead, rotting body and says, get up and come out here. Dude gets up perfectly brand new. And he walks out of the cave. There's no way to walk away from that and go, oh, this Jesus has no authority. He's nobody. He's just a man. How many people in that video that we saw at the beginning said, he's just a good man? Just a good salesman. He got people to follow him. Salesmen don't raise the dead. They don't call people out of graves. They don't have authority over everything in heaven and earth. And Jesus, miracle after miracle after miracle has been recorded that people were eyewitnesses of these events. And you might be the greatest miracle that you've ever seen in your life if you've trusted in Jesus when he took your dead soul and he made it alive again. That's the greatest miracle ever pulled off, that he could take dead spirits and make them alive and give you eternal life. To take you from being an enemy of God and making you his child. That's a miracle. That's the greatest story, the greatest testimony you could ever hear. Maybe you don't know that one, but you might have friends around you whose Jesus has raised from the dead. Your friends who believe in Jesus, they've been transformed and you're watching their life and you're seeing a change in them and you see that they're different and you're like, how? And it's because of a miracle when God called their dead soul back to life and they're changing right in front of your eyes. He's growing them. He's transforming them. And if that's you and you got friends like that, take note. Ask them, what is going on? How is that happening? How can I have that? It's the power of Jesus when you believe. When you place your trust in him, that is how it happens. So my number three is the miracles that Jesus performed. And we could go through so many. All the gospels are full of his miracles. But that's the third reason why I believe Jesus really is who he says he is. And finally tonight, the last reason why, the fourth reason, sorry, why I believe in Jesus is because his own unbelieving family, they ended up believing him to the point where some even were martyred for him. You know, it's funny because like the people that know you best are your family, you know? You ever maybe had those moments where maybe your family knows you go to church and maybe some of your family members don't and they notice that and they know you and they saw you grow up and they've seen your moments where you mess up and where you're weak and they see that and they wonder like, but I've seen you do this and then I hear that you go to church and you like share your testimony or you lead worship or you read the Bible. Your life doesn't seem to match up, right? The people who are hardest to convince of the change in you are the people that know you the best, your family. And so Jesus, for his family, who started off going, this guy's crazy. Like, he's nuts. Who end up dying for his cause. They believe it as well as they know him. They see his dirty, dark secrets that there didn't exist, you know? They see that side that no one else gets to see, and yet they still end up believing that he is true. Mark 3:21. And when his family heard it, he was out teaching, right? They went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. He's out doing this miracle, and tons of people are showing up and causing a scene like, whoa, what is this? What is he doing? And so they think he's gone crazy. And so they run out to like pull him back home, be like, you're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing us. Like, come on home. They thought he was out of his mind. All these people believe in him. They're surrounding him. These crowds are massive. They're filling up the streets. He's going to go into the desert to find enough space for people to like get around him and hear him teach. Or out by the ocean on the beach so people can fit. They didn't fit in a room like this. They were all over. So his family was like, what is he doing? This guy's going crazy. Acts 1:12 to 14 says this. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And then when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Listen to this last phrase. And his brothers. You mean the ones that just called him crazy? The ones that just tried to go drag him out from doing these miracles back to the house so he wouldn't embarrass them. Now all of a sudden they're gathered together a couple books later and they're like praying in his name, the name of Jesus. Like now they believe he's God. Wow. Their hearts changed. They started to view him different. They were convinced that Jesus really was who he said he was. 1 Corinthians 15:7. It says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. You know who James was? His brother, who was most against him. His brother who was like, you are totally nuts, bro. Get away from us. All of a sudden, we see in 1 Corinthians, his brother has totally changed his mind, has seen the miracles of Jesus, and now is becoming the head of the church in Jerusalem. He's leading a church. In the name of Jesus, he's becoming this pillar of the faith in Jesus. That's how drastically he's changed because he believes Jesus really is legit. He is the guy he says he is. Galatians 2:9, this last verse I'll share tonight. It says, and when James, again, and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. These guys had become pillars of the faith of Jesus Christ. These same guys who at one point had said he's crazy, his own brothers and sisters who knew his ins and outs, the behind the scenes and what other people saw, they knew it all. They were so convinced that James even was executed. They dragged him out into the streets and they stoned him as a martyr for his faith in Jesus because he so fiercely preached the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior of mankind. And he would not back down. Now, it's one thing to be like, yeah, I believe it, everybody, follow me, and it's all good and fun. And then someone says, I'm going to kill you if you say it again. You're probably going to change your tune real quick if it's not true. If you don't really believe it, you're like, okay, I didn't really mean it, you know, and you're gone. You don't die for it. You don't die for a lie. He did. He died because it was true. He believed it with all his heart because he knew it wasn't a lie. When I look at that, that's the fourth reason why I believe in my heart Jesus really is the Son of God. And I hope you believe it too. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? As you sit there for a moment, will you just kind of clear your thoughts and clear your mind and just ask the Lord to show you the parts of your heart that you need to just say, God, call this dead part of my heart back to life. Call me out of the tomb. Show me that whatever moment I'm in right now, no matter how much it hurts or how confused I might be about it, you've got a plan. Ask him, say, God, help me believe that you know better, that your plan is better than all of the problems I have. And maybe you're letting them happen because you know something better than I do. As we sing this next psalm of worship, will you just pray that? Ask the Lord to do that in your heart.